It makes it about three rows, I think, and that's all the farther back it gets. I need like a bong.
You need a radio going. That's what I do in my classroom. The radio goes off, they all come.
All of a sudden they're like, whoa, what happened? I like how it, all of a sudden there's the realization. Oh! Husbands start poking wives, and sometimes vice versa. Well, glad to see you all here this morning on this nice, crisp fall morning. So, as you see, I'm attired in not so crisp fall weather because Lynn and I leave Tuesday for Hawaii. So I'm going to go over and meet up with the Bears over there and spend a week in Hawaii. So my first time to Hawaii, so sort of looking forward to it. I'm one of those, you know, I don't, things out of my comfort zone are kind of scary, so, you know. So, you know. I know. Surfing? No. No. I am looking forward to being in the water, though. That should be awesome. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, and I just am grateful to you for who you are. And I know it seems so simplistic, but really that is the most important thing, is just our realization of who you are, that you are God, and that you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And so many times selfish human beings have a hard time of taking ourselves off the throne and having you be solely on the throne. And so this morning, Father, I pray that you would help us with that, just through the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit, just to really come to that understanding more and more every day of who we are in you. Because those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we are a child of the King, and that is our place. And yet, we're a child of the King. We do not belong on the throne. That is your place. And so, Father, we just lift up praise to you this morning, because you are worthy. I pray that through this message, you would be honored and glorified, and that your Holy Spirit would work in the midst of your people, to encourage them and challenge them, and help us to be more like your Son. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And this is the Bradleys' last Sunday here, too. They're heading somewhere warmer. Mary finally talked, or I mean, Art finally talked Mary into leaving, so. All right, well, we're continuing our study in 2 Timothy. There's notes in your bulletin, and you'll notice there's lots of notes this morning. So there won't be any fill-in-the-blank, just because there are so many notes. It's one of those where you're going to have to strap on your jet pilot helmet, buckle in, because we're going to be flying low and fast. So there's lots of information to cover. It's one of those passages that just has a long list of things, and so it just kind of makes it longer. We're going to start out by reading 2 Timothy. You open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. Again, this is the letter from Paul to Timothy, who is in Ephesus, but also put yourself in this place too, because God is speaking to us through his word today also. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, it says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also." The gospel will prevail in the end, but the days between today and the glorious victory will be filled with ever-increasing evil. Anticipate victory, but be prepared for battle. That needs to be our mindset. And as Paul starts out this section here, talking to Timothy and speaking to us also, that "but realize this" may have a better feeling there for that would be, keep on knowing this. Keep on knowing this. Because Paul has taught Timothy well. And he's just reminding him, you know all this stuff. You know it all. Keep remembering it. Keep applying it. Keep using it. He says that the difficult times will come. Well, not only will difficult times come, but difficult times are here. I think we can all agree to that. And it was no different then. The difficult times were there. It talks about the last days. The last days. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of deacons," or not deacons, sorry. That was not a Freudian slip. Okay. That was doctrines of demons. There we go. Tongue's not operating very well this morning. So the last days, what's it talking about when it says the last days? Really, what it's saying there is from the time of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to when Christ returns again, those are the last days. I mean, it's a huge time span, but all this stuff is happening. And so there really is nothing new that's happening. It's kind of all the same stuff. But we just need to be aware, and it will ramp up. It will ramp up. We also will have to be dealing with difficult people, and that's a lot of what this passage is about. I mean, it just, you know, Paul just kind of, it's like, really, Paul? He just kind of seems to go on and on and on. And, you know, really, the one thing would be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. I mean, that kind of sums it all up, really. So it's that wrong kind of love that these people have. That really is the issue. One of the things that we look at is, you know, when it comes to stuff that goes on in the world and the suffering of people, that really where the greatest amount of suffering comes is from other people. You know, you think about, well, okay, what about, you know, natural disasters and all that kind of thing? They don't compare with what people do to people when it comes to suffering and violence and that kind of a thing. Because there is an enemy in this world that wants to create havoc and chaos as much as he can and drive people away from God. So this idea of a wrong kind of love, one of the things I want to point out here is most of these Greek words have the prefix a before them, which connotates a negative. So like amoral, you know, being kind of the opposite of moral. And that's what a lot of these words are in the Greek. It's just, you know, they take a good word and stick the A on it, which means it's the opposite of it. So Matthew 22:36-40, someone asked Jesus this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Most of us have heard this. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." It's about love, and it's the proper love, loving God, loving your neighbor. But what we're going to see here is people are lovers of self. They're lovers of self beyond loving God, which is narcissism. It's narcissism. Loving myself more than anything else. Seeking my own comfort, promoting myself above anything else. The opposite of that would be someone who's humble, someone who shows humility, someone who's loving. We see that they're boastful, that they're boastful. They seek glory for themselves without providing anything of worth to those around them. Someone who's boastful. We're going to be looking at three specific things here. There's this idea of lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, which is narcissism, materialism, and hedonism. And it's very interesting, if you look at commercials, those are the big three. That's what they're trying to get you to say, oh, you know, that would be good for me. Oh, I really want that. You know, almost every commercial you can look at, it's going to incorporate these, or at least one of them, or two of them, maybe three of them, because it's trying to promote dissatisfaction in us to want something better, something different. The other one is arrogant. Arrogant. Someone who puts themselves over others. A really good way to think about arrogance is Satan. I mean, talk about the ultimate arrogance. He wants to put himself above God or in God's place. The ultimate arrogance. Another one is being ungrateful or unthankful or someone who feels like they're entitled to something. The next one is conceited. This idea of being puffed up. Puffed up, making yourself more important. The next section is lovers of money or materialism. The opposite of materialism would be someone who's generous, who's free with what they have. Someone who's a lover of money, they seek wealth and possessions as a means of power and control and security and personal worth and even love. This is why they seek after it. 1 Timothy 6. "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." It's the root of all sorts of evil. Striving after that instead of striving after God. The next one is lovers of pleasure. This is considered hedonism. The opposite of that would be in integrity or morality, because what happens is you have to deny self. You have to deny self to be a moral person with integrity. Desires of the moment above all else. You know, what's going to make me happy? You know, I think it's too bad that, you know, part of our country has that statement in there, you know, the pursuit of happiness. I mean, really, it maybe the pursuit of joy. You know, the pursuit of serving something bigger than myself, which really is what our country was founded on. Pursuing something bigger than ourselves. I mean, coming together, creating a place that really is equal for everybody. And again, because of the corruption of man, we've even corrupted that. You know, everybody should be equal. But even in this day and age, we still struggle with that. We still struggle with that. Under lovers of pleasure, there's the word unholy. Someone who rejects the laws of God and common decency. Someone who is without self-control. So you think about someone who has a lot of self-control might be an athlete, you know, who really, you know, works hard of controlling self and doing what they need to do to get where they need to go. Thinking of someone without self-control. And one of the terms that Paul had used earlier is having to do with sexual restraint. Someone who's without sexual restraint, with just out of control. Again, the desire for pleasure. The next one is reckless. Someone who's reckless. And it's the idea of someone who's kind of rash and headstrong and easily provoked. It has the idea of, you know, have you ever been running down a hill? And pretty soon, you know, your head gets in front of your feet. It has that idea of just literally kind of out of control, headlong, just going, totally reckless. I can remember, you know, for me as a kid, it was more of bicycles. You know, you come flying down a hill, you know, and pretty soon, what's it start doing? It starts going like that, and it's like, uh-oh, you know, we're in trouble. And a lot of times, there was more than one of us on a bicycle, too, so, you know, it's kind of compounds it. But yeah, it's amazing that none of us ever died. We never wore helmets, right? And we're out in the middle, you know, we just go take off for the whole day and be gone and riding our bikes and doing crazy stuff. And well, I didn't. No, really, I didn't, because that was just, you know, I watched my friends and like, yeah, they're nuts. I was much more careful. Might have been one time. And then the next one is wrong relationships. We see this idea of wrong relationships. And the first term they use here is a reviler. And the Greek word is where we get the term blasphemy. A reviler. In other words, it's a cursing, a slandering, treating with contempt. And you think about someone who blasphemes God, that's what they're doing. They're treating God with contempt. Disobedient to parents. Kind of an interesting one in there. But it really does show the relationship part. You know, totally rejecting parental counsel at whatever age. Just that, you know, just disrespect. Disrespect. And, of course, in this culture, it would have been an even bigger deal. You know, our current culture, we've gotten so far away from the issue of respect. I mean, all you got to do is sit in school for a day. I mean, it's amazing what kids get away with anymore. It's because we're so afraid to dole out discipline. I mean, really, that's where it comes from, and it's too bad. I mean, I feel for teachers in this day. You know, how do you deal with a disruptive kid? Well, you know, you're out of here. That doesn't help. Sometimes they're like, yeah. You know, it's hard. It is so hard. The next one is unloving. Unloving towards people and unloving towards God. This hard-heartedness or this attitude of, well, I will, but I expect something in return. You know, it's not the unconditional love of, well, I'll love you no matter what. It's more the, well, I'll love you as long as I'm receiving. Again, that what a picture of our society. You know, divorce rate is rampant a lot because of that. Well, you're not fulfilling me, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. Well, what about you? What are you doing? What are you not doing? Loving unconditionally is what we need to do. Someone who's irreconcilable. They don't admit wrong. They refuse to forgive. And they continue to remain at odds with people. They just won't be reconciled. Have you ever run into someone like that? Where it doesn't matter what you do, they're just going to be mad. And they're just not going to, they're not going to forgive. They don't want to go there. It's too bad because they don't realize what it does to them to be that way. This one's very interesting. Malicious gossips. The Greek word is diabolos. Yeah. Think of someone who's kind of a tattletale that wants to create disharmony. In Revelation 12:10, it calls Satan the accuser because he's coming and trying to get people in trouble with God. He's accusing them of whatever. You know, the nice thing for those of us that have accepted Christ is he can accuse all he wants. Because God's going to say, that's been taken care of. It's been dealt with. Have you ever wondered at that in Job, you know, where Satan comes into the presence of God and it's like, that's weird. What's he up to? My guess is this part of what he's up to. You know, he's been out wandering the earth and he's going to bring accusation against whoever he can. Brutal is another term that's used. It has the idea of not being tame or a lion. You know, you think of a lion and how savage, being untamed. The next one is haters of good. Haters of good. Hostile towards virtue. I mean, anything that's good, they just don't know. Can't stand it. The next one is treacherous. Treacherous. Or being a traitor. Being a traitor. First person that might come to mind is Judas. Talk about a traitor. Someone who gave over Jesus for some coins. Loved the money more than he did the relationship. The next part we get into here is looking at wrong religion. Wrong religion. 1 Timothy 6, 5 through 6. It's kind of setting this up. Constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of gain when accompanied by contentment. They denied the proper godliness. You know, they were looking at it totally from a selfish standpoint of, you know, what can I get out of it? They denied Christ and the gospel for their own gain. They denied the power of godliness. That it had any power really to do what ultimately they wanted. And that's the right relationships and having the joy in their life. These are false teachers. And this is something that Paul has continually tried to help Timothy with, is the false teachers that were in Ephesus and the false teachers that we have today, because they're out there. They're out there. Again, denying godliness, trying to skew the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, "And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." And that's what's happening, is these false teachers They're following after Satan, whether they realize it or not. That's what they're doing. They're being influenced by the enemy. And here's some of the tactics that they use. They're secretive about it. It talks about them going into houses. You know, they're not really doing it out in the open. They're doing it in private, in secret. And they're going after those who are vulnerable to capture them and try to lead them into their way. And really, it's all about the stuff that we've been talking about so they can feel important. And so their victims, it says here specifically, are vulnerable women. And Paul has brought this up before. And from that, more than likely, there's this segment of the population in Ephesus that have this specific issue, that are having a hard time understanding all what's going on. The other thing that I find very interesting is it says that they go into the homes and they're going after these women. Where are their husbands? You know, more than likely it's happening while they're away. Hopefully it's happening while they're away. But as we've seen in the beginning with Adam and Eve, it's not necessarily the case. Sometimes the husband kind of follows along with, and instead of taking that spiritual leadership and saying, oh, wait a minute. They go after their intellectual weakness, the understanding of the gospel. They go after their moral weaknesses. It says that they captivate weak women weighed down with sins and their gullibility. They're led on by various impulses. And these false teachers know the right words to say. You know, just like Satan in the garden. He knew how to take God's word and tweak it so that it caused, oh, wait a minute, is that what God said? Because that's where the enemy wants to get us. He wants to get us to the point where we're going, well, wait a minute, maybe that isn't what God said. Now remember, in the first century, they wouldn't have had their Bibles to go back to and go, okay, what did God say? Oh, no, that's not what God said. You know, they're all going by whether it's letters that Paul and others have written, or a lot of times what it is, you know, Paul has traveled through, he's done some teaching, and they have to now remember from memory what Paul taught. So it's very easy for the enemy to come in and start tweaking that a little bit. Well, is that really what Paul said? I think you misunderstood that. Or they want to add things to it. But it all comes back to them, the false teachers, and how they want to feel, and they want to be important, and they're doing it all for wrong motives. These are men of depraved mind. In Isaiah 1:14, God speaking to the Israelites, it's not new. It just isn't new. We get as human beings, we get so off focus. He's speaking to them, says, I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me, says the Lord. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. James 1:27, talks about what's pure and undefiled religion? Taking care of the widow and the orphan. There's something there. Looking beyond ourselves to someone else. These are people who oppose the truth. They oppose the truth. And it says that they are rejected, rejected in regard to the faith. So that term there, rejected, is a metallurgy term. It has the idea of taking metal and refining it and watching it to see how it reacts to make sure that you have the most pure metal. That's the idea. And what happens with these people is you're taking the faith and you're using it to test them. And that's why they're being rejected, because they're not following the faith. They're being disproved by faith. But I love how Paul ends this. He ends it with encouragement. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Matthew 16, 18, the second part of it says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. We need to be encouraged with that. Paul, in sharing part of his testimony in 1 Timothy 13, says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, this is Paul talking about himself, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant, with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And Paul was encouraged by that, that God is more than capable of doing that. And we need to be encouraged that any of these people who are spreading lies, who are false teachers, that they will be found out. That they will be found out. And that we're testing them against the faith. We're taking God's word and using it as a test to see is what they're saying true. He talks about Jannes and Jambres, which is interesting. So I looked that up. It's nowhere else in the Bible. So these names, I mean, we know what the occurrence was when Moses was trying to get the people out of Egypt and he was doing the signs and there were the magicians. So this is basically, what's the term I want? Jewish tradition of what their names were. It's kind of where that comes from, because it's not referenced anywhere else. But what the point is, they were found out. You know, when Aaron threw the staff on the ground and it turned into a snake, and the magicians then did the same thing, which I find really interesting. But what happened to their snakes? Yeah, they got eaten by the other snake. Great picture of truth overcoming evil. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared because difficult times will come. And they're here. Difficult times are here. Evil will try to prevail. But a positive attitude requires realistic expectations. You know, to go merrily through life thinking that, well, okay, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, so everything will be great. You know, everything will be fine. They're, you know, woohoo! No, because there's an enemy out there that hates us. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's an enemy who literally hates us. And is going to try to do everything in his power to destroy us. The hard part for us is ministering in a depraved world. But if we realize that, It helps us in our conversations and our relationships with those who don't know. We come at it from a different angle. You know, sometimes it's easy to kind of come across as, you know, a little bit arrogant and, you know, those ridiculous people out there that don't know anything. They're being deceived. They're being deceived, and we need to have more grace and more mercy. False teachers will present themselves as genuine. And not only will they present themselves as genuine, they will present themselves in the church. It will happen. Matthew 7:15, Jesus speaking says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly are ravenous wolves." They're coming to seek and destroy and devour. We need to confront that. We need to reject them because of how toxic it can be. Evil can occupy positions of authority. Careful. What was happening in the time when Paul wrote this is Nero was in power. Talk about evil and what he was doing to Christians. It was bad. But all you have to do is look at history. Look at our present situation. There are evil people who are in positions of authority. There are. The thing we need to remember, though, is you know what? God's in control. God is still in control. And those things are temporary. Those things are temporary. Evil's primary weapon is deception. You know, again, you go back to the Garden of Eden. It was the deception. It was taking and tweaking God's word a little bit. Just enough to cause doubt. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Sometimes the argument is made that, well, it can't be that simple, can it? Accepting Jesus as your Savior, believing that He is who God said He is, really? Really? Can't be that simple. There must be stuff I need to do, right? No, the only stuff you need to do is believe in Jesus. That's all you need to do. So when the deception comes, we need to confront it. We need to challenge it. We need to be willing to reveal the truth with grace. You know, stand on God's word. It's not "thus saith me." It's "thus saith the Lord," and it's in His word. And that's how you make the argument, although you shouldn't really argue because that probably won't get you anywhere. But still, in the conversation, it's this isn't what I'm saying. This is what God says. So ultimately, we need to avoid people like this and their practices. We must avoid self-centered lives, speaking about us. We must avoid self-centered lives with misdirected loves and corrupt relationships, religious forms devoid of Christ's power, and the evil tactics of false teachers. And we need to be encouraged because there is a better way. To be continued. We're going to see in the next section here, Paul is going to show us. Okay, there's all this stuff that's going on, and there's all these people out there that are trying to dissuade you from really believing the gospel. And he's going to go into the next section and show us the encouragement. Show us the better way. But you can read it. So, you know, feel free to read ahead. That's okay. But it'll be a couple weeks before we actually address that. Alor's going to be doing the message the next couple weeks while we're lounging in Hawaii. So 80 degrees and sunny and... Thanks. So we just need to be aware. We just need to be aware and not, you know, have that naivety of thinking this stuff doesn't happen, because it does. And also knowing that it's going to get worse. It will ramp up. It will continue to get worse. And that's not to discourage you. That's to have you be prepared. That when it comes, we're not going, oh, no. You know, I really think the ultimate deception of Satan is going to be when we really get in to the end times, the very end times, that he'll say, yeah, see, there's no God. Look at all you're going through. Look at all that happened. Have you ever thought about, so the tribulation, or I mean the rapture, so basically the church is taken out of the world. How's Satan going to explain that one? Have you ever thought about that? Because he will. He will explain that away. It'll be, well, I guess I won't be here, but it'll be interesting. It'd be really interesting to see that. What is going to be that lie? You know, that twisting of the truth. So I don't know if you ever thought, I you know, when I read Revelation, I think about that. It's like, how's the Russians did it? Yeah. I think it's going to be space aliens, you know, sucked us all out. Well, why just that group, though, you know? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it really does explain who you are and how we are to live our lives. I just think about the first century and all those people that believed in Christ as Savior, but they literally didn't have your word, and how the Holy Spirit must have just been working overtime to give them understanding and really help them. And Father, we are so blessed, especially here in this country, just all the resources we have to know your word. There is no reason for any of us to not understand your word, to not be in your word every single day, so that we can be prepared, so that we can be prepared, because the times are evil right now. It's not that they're coming. We're in the midst of it. And so, Father, help us to be prepared to live lives that are examples of Jesus Christ, to show people in this world that there is hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just want to go through a few bulletin announcements. Very, very grateful for all those people that showed up yesterday. We had our church work day. And so you may have noticed it's looking pretty spiffy out there. We had people working in here doing different things, so we really appreciate all those. And again, a thank you to Glennis and Elaine for cleaning up the highway. So we mentioned that last week, and they wanted to know if you kept going. Then you ended up in Arizona because you just kept going down the road cleaning, but... And then we have the Harvest Carnivals coming up. The Worship Center hosts that. And so there's some lists there and there about some help, whether it's people coming in help or providing some candy. There's a bin out there. And Kids Church Store's coming up. And that's something where they look for just different items that maybe you can donate to help put in the store that kids might be able to purchase for family and that type of thing. And then youth group today is going roller skating. And so we wanted to ask you to really pray for Pastor Alor, because the last time he went roller skating, not a good deal. So trying to convince him to either not roller skate or maybe have outriggers or something. Wrap him in bubble wrap. you know. So, and then the last thing is there's a flyer in here. It's called "We Believe We Vote," and it's a website that gives you some information. And there's actually a tab in there for Stevens County. So even though the kind of the main thing says Spokane County, there is a tab in there for Stevens County, and so you can click on that, and it'll give you some information about those of us in Stevens County and what we're voting on, and that covers, you know, federal, state, all that. So, all right. Yes, sir.
I need greeters, too. You don't have to be registered.
You don't have to be registered to vote to be a greeter. So, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back for that. In fact, there's multiple sign-up sheets back there for different things. So God bless you all. Have a great week.